Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love many things, including the sirens that are blaring past my home. This, though, is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from the midst of this weird, weird time with another Homes Alone edition. It's Thursday, and you know what that means. This is this month's bonus episode. It's March 25th, 2021, and my very special guests are Todd Robert Anderson, Kevin Lewis, and Clark Wolf. Hey, you all y'all.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, hey, let's meet them individually, starting with first-time guest, director of Willy's Wonderland, starring Nick Cage. It's Kevin Lewis. Hello, Kevin.
Hello. So happy to be here, Doug.
I am so happy that you're here for more than one reason, because I was excited to have you on the show because, you know, somebody that's directed a Nicolas Cage movie, I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing right there. And so you were going to come on the show and tell everybody what happened.
Absolutely. Basically, you know, Nick was an amazing, you know, performer, as we all know, and he's an amazing partner to make a movie with, and just an amazing human being. I mean, he's just a good soul. We had a blast making this film. We didn't have one creative disagreement on it. And it was just a thrill ride from beginning to end working with Nick Cage.
That's so awesome. But what I meant with my question was, you were going to do the show a few weeks ago, but something happened.
Oh, that.
Can you speak on that for a second?
That's
I just didn't know if you wanted. I don't know where you're at with it.
Oh, that's the elephant in the room. So what happened was I got diagnosed with COVID pneumonia, and I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and almost wouldn't be here, Doug, talking to you guys. It was pretty hairy, and you know, I pulled out, I worked hard, and, you know, I'm here. Thank God. So it was tough. I wrote an article. It appeared on IndieWire, and it kind of explains kind of what I went through. And, it was a crazy time, you know. I got out right before my son turned 16, and then the next day Willie's, came out on February 12th. So lucky to be here with you guys.
Yeah, it's an incredible story. It's a, you know, of course, terrible that that happened, but also that you got through it is so great, and so that's why I'm doubly excited when I got the request for your through a publicist that you still wanted to come on the show.
Absolutely.
Hopefully me and my guests won't give you COVID again.
No.
We're keeping it pretty safe though.
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think we'll make it. Joining us today is zooming in from the East Coast. It's great friend of the show, Clark Wolf.
Hey everyone. So happy to be here.
And COVID-free?
COVID-free, as far as I know, yes. But yeah, Kevin, I'm so glad to hear that you're feeling better. That's great. And it's lovely to meet you, and congratulations on the movie.
Oh, thank you, Clark, so much. Thank you.
That's probably the best excuse anybody's ever given me to not come on my podcast, especially since I'm doing that. That one's going to be, because I found out later, I didn't know why you weren't doing my show. I just knew that you had something came up, and I didn't even dawn on me it would be that. So then when I found out, later that that's why you canceled, I was like, well, finally somebody with a good excuse. But a man with no excuses for anything, because he doesn't need them, is another friend of the show and a huge friend of Willy's Wonderland. That is Todd Robert Anderson.
Hey, Doug.
Hi, Todd.
It's good to be back. I've never been asked to be on a show because I loved a movie, like this. And so I'm excited. It's exciting to be on a show with Kevin.
As soon as you were telling me on one of my numerous other podcasts how much you love Willy's Wonderland, I was just like, okay, well, he's coming on the show. You'll come on too, and you can, just tell him directly how awesome you think that movie is.
Kevin, I love this movie. I loved it so much. I mean, of course, I watched it the first weekend it was available to me on VOD. Plop the $20 down, because how could I not? When I heard about this, I was waiting for it, and then it really delivered. I was blown away by how much fun it was. Yeah,
that's awesome, man. You made my day and week and month. I mean, I'm thank you. I'm really happy you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm a big fan of this Nick Cage renaissance of late,
the cage-a-sance,
it's like Mom and Dad and Mandy, mm-hmm. And Colorado Space. I was mm-hmm. thinking of those as the trilogy of the cage-a-sance, and then I hear about this and I'm like, what more? And wow, it's a great addendum. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah. This could become this hour of me asking questions, and I know Doug doesn't want that, but the choices that you guys made, I mean, Nick Cage's performance alone in this is just one of the best ones I've seen him do for the, mm-hmm. I don't know if I can spoil the, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but the thing about it, mm-hmm. can I, Kevin?
I think people know, especially since it's called Willy's Wonderland, and like, if you see any quick snippets from it, they pretty much go right to the fact that it's animatronics,
And also that Nick Cage doesn't have any dialogue in the entire film.
Yeah.
And it's I think what I love about Cage performance is what a lot of people love, is that he is unafraid to go there to be completely bananas. I mean, yep. Those are the things we love in his performance. So like, for him to deliver a performance without words, that is the kind of banana stuff that we love from Cage was one of the things I loved about it. I was like, I was like a 14-year-old boy just on the edge of my couch going, oh my God, he's not talking.
Well, I was so excited for it to come out because, everybody, they do the memes about Nick, going the wild monologues and everything. And I was like, man, people are not going to know what hit him with this, because there's not many actors that can do what he can do and pull it off, you know? And I agree. He was phenomenal in it, you know, and he was channeling Charles Bronson for Once Upon a Time in the West. That was kind of his thing. And I was kind of going through it, you know, like I love Drive, you know, and Valhalla Rising with Mads Mikkelsen. And I was just thinking though, like what movies has the lead actor done that, you know, and not many, you know, and even those movies, they speak, you know? And so that's the thing, even at the end, when he comes out of the kitchen to confront Willie, I do kind of a dolly push in on him. And that was kind of my thing to say, okay, guys, here it is. Here's that line that you guys want. Here's that one thing he's going to say, and he doesn't say it, you know, and that was, you know, and it's funny, 'cause you know, you build that up too of having to be something iconic that he has to say, right? 'Cause if he doesn't say anything through the movie and then he says something, he's like, that means to stick. And we just felt like, you know, Nick's whole opinion was the janitor doesn't speak unless he needs to, and he doesn't need to, because he looked at these animatronics as trash. They're trash to him. He doesn't respect them. So that was kind of what he was going for. And I think it's great and it works.
Kevin, I would love to follow up, because I am also a big Nick Cage fan. I'm not even recently, meaning like I've been a fan for a very long time. Yeah. And I've read a lot of, you know, interviews and heard a lot of creatives who've worked with him say that, you know, sometimes he'll just show up on set and he has a very distinct idea of what this character is, and that's how he's going to do it. And I also obviously noticed he's a producer on this film. Did you all, you know, in terms of the janitor and the characterization, did you all collaborate on that? Or was that more like Nick has an idea, this is how, like, and he showed up kind of fully formed on the day?
You know, Clark, it was amazing, because we just got along so well and we saw the movie the same way. And, you know, I was always thinking about, like, with the Ringer t-shirt, that was kind of my shout out to the old Star Wars 70s shirts, right? In the 70s I wore, and a lot of people wore, and I'm a fanboy by nature, you know, pop culture and everything. And I know he was as well. He would always show up with his Godzilla shirts or his Bruce Lee shirts, you know, and we just really were on the same wavelength, you know. And, you know, that pinball scene, that was all Nick, you know, he came in, to your point, yes, he had those ideas. He was channeling Prince, who is one of my favorite musicians. You know, I've seen him like 4 times in concert. And so he was doing that stuff. But we would talk every night after the movie. You know, we would email or text or talk and just kind of say what we were going for, you know. And, you know, we just kind of hit it. There was, like I said, we didn't have one creative disagreement on this movie. We saw it eye to eye. And I just can't tell you, he spoiled me, you know. I just can't tell you what a dream it was to work with him on this movie, you know.
Love
and
that.
It's the other thing, you know, because Nick Cage can always deliver comedy as well. Mm-hmm. And this movie is really funny. That's another thing about it. It's like a really well realized horror comedy, because it's got your gore and your action and your scares, but damn, when it's funny. And just the madness of it, the insanity of it. And that you guys didn't, you know, he was taking breaks, you know, the janitor takes these breaks at the most inopportune moments because, you know, he's on the job and it's just a job sort of thing. And I like that run through the whole movie was just, I thought it was so funny.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, to me, the movie's very self-aware, you know, it knows kind of what it is, and we're just having fun. And the idea of the 80s tropes, you know, it was really kind of a love letter to the 80s for me, you know, not trying to rip off the 80s, but just as much as, like, you know, they split up and then the kids go in the super happy fun room, you know, and he was like, okay, you know what's going to happen, you know, that modern horror movies aren't going to do that, you know. So the same thing with the breaks and everything, it was self-aware, you know. But I had the actors play it real. I didn't want them to wink at the camera. You know, we could have done it a different way, more of like a Bruce Campbell vibe, which, again, Evil Dead 2, one of my favorite movies of all time. And Sam Raimi is my favorite director. So I could have gone that way. But I thought, you know, if you play it, just you play it serious and let the comedy just come out, because it's ridiculous, right? It's you know, it's fighting a Nick Cage versus an animatronic weasel, you know. And on the set, when I would work on the shots, I did a 70-page shot list before arriving to set, because this was a movie that was going to be very precise. It wasn't a film that we were going to go run around and say, okay, what are we feeling like today? I knew it's like I had fridge cam, you know, it's like, well, you had to saw the back of the fridge to put the camera in, you know? So there were things like, okay, we have to be all prepped and prepared. And so I got about 85 to 90% of the shot list actually, which was amazing when I wrapped. And Nick was just amazing there, because he would go in and we would be setting up shots with the stand-in and holding the punch pop. And Nick would just come in and hold the punch pop, you know, and he was always there. You know, he wasn't in his trailer. He was right there. You know, he cared. And so it was a very precise film. And I knew that if we went too over, it was a tightrope movie. I call it a tightrope movie because the idea of it going overboard, and I could have gone maybe more like Rob Zombie on it, but I'm like, okay, you go Rob Zombie, you have a real way of just really getting laughed out at the theater, you know? And I didn't want that. And it was funny because setting up the shots, we would set up, you know, Dutch tilt or something. And it's like, well, is this too much? And my whole thing was, it's Nick Cage versus an animatronic weasel. Nothing is off the table. Nothing is too much. So I wanted to go further on some things, you know, but yeah, so that was kind of liberating and freeing, you know, creatively, because it was such kind of a, just a gonzo idea, you know? And so we just went for it. And the whole thing of it, you know, I always wanted to be colorful, dark, because these places are colorful, right? But it is dark subject matter with the kids, you know, but I didn't want to get too crazy and dark on that, you know, and still make, you know, and not make light of the situation either. And again, his character and not having dialogue, that's really hard to do. And not a lot of actors could do it. And so visually I was like, how do we show that? How do we make it interesting? You know? And so I didn't have a lot of footage. I only did two or three takes. And I told Nick, you know, I'm sorry, Nick, I had 20 days to shoot this movie. And I said, you know, I'm not going to be able to do a bunch of takes. And he said, Kevin, I like to get it in one. And I was like, well, that's awesome. Well, up two. Let's just get two. One for safety. Yeah, it was great.
I mean, that's got to be huge for an actor to be for an entire movie, not have to worry about the words that he's saying, you know, and just to talk about the emotions and the actions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that would also help to not do so many takes. Cause so many takes are just for getting the dialogue right, or, you know, have to do it again because of sound issue.
Yeah. And to Clark's point too, he did have, I definitely came to the table with a ton of ideas. In fact, I'll never forget the first day I met him, he went to the zoo to study the animals. And he came back with a German Shepherd and iguana. That was kind of his, he was channeling those as well. And so there's a scene, if you remember, in the hallway when he sees Tito and Siren Sarah. And he looks like a German Shepherd, man. He hunts them. He's just staring at them, you know. And then he walks towards them and pops them in the chops, you know. And that was totally German Shepherd. And there's actually a great outtake. And maybe it'll be on the DVD, I don't know. But right before he's going to do a scene with Liv, when he pulls the knife from her, he says, get back to the German Shepherd, get back to the iguana, get back to the German Shepherd, get back to the iguana. It was great. It was total Nick Cage, man. You know, so to Clark's point, yes, he came in with a lot of ideas and was doing a lot of variety of things.
Well, I'm glad that all, you know, came together so nicely. I personally can't wait to see it. I have not watched it yet. I'm like, I watch movies like it's the stock market. I wait for the price to come down.
Well,
Todd said, I think this one is definitely worth $20. And
well, I paid the $20 for VOD, and I already pre-ordered my Blu-ray copy. So I'm
God, I love you.
I'm crazy with the investments.
That's great.
You're not the worst, as people often say about you. You're actually the best. All right, let's go to a first commercial break, and then when we come back, I'm going to ask you all that big question that I ask of all of my guests, and I'll say what that is. when we get back. We'll be right back. No flipping.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, we're back, and we're here with three people who I am very interested to hear their recommendations. I'd like each of you to please recommend one film. Could be old, could be new, preferably something we haven't all seen, but even if it's something that's popular, if you're feeling it right now, tell us about it. I'll start with Clark.
Oh, man, I was hoping I'd go last. Well, obviously, I've got to recommend Willy's Wonderland. That is the movie that I've most recently watched. However, in non-Willy's Wonderland movies. So I think the last time I was here, and actually, I was on with Todd and Claire. And I think I recommended The Lodge, which was my slow burn, dark kind of horror situation. But mm-hmm. I forget if I mentioned Gretel and Hansel. But if I didn't, then I really enjoyed Gretel and Hansel, Oz Perkins' movie. It is like an hour and 25 minutes long. I'm a huge horror fan. And so I love sometimes, like, especially when you're getting into like experimental or quiet or slow burn or whatever. I love just in and out. It's so like, yes, there's space for the hereditaries of the world, but also sometimes you just get into the woods and have a story with witches in it. Lots of triangles. I loved that. I mean, it was just like, I totally dug Gretel and Hansel. And, you know, I appreciate Oz Perkins' vision, but I didn't love his other features. And this one, you know, it's so right up my alley. It's fantasy, fairy tale horror. It is witches, which I love. I love a witch story. And, you know, it's not reinventing the wheel of Gretel and Hansel, but if you know the story, then you know the story. But I would say it's... I really liked the conversations that the female characters had throughout this journey. So it's, if you're in the US, it's streaming free on Amazon Prime. And Gretel and Hansel, give it a watch. I dug it.
I like that too, Clark. It's a good movie. That was one that I saw in the theater, caught me by surprise. You know, it was really fun. Yeah, it's good.
I know that was a lot of people's last quarantine movie because it came out, or excuse me, pre-COVID movie mm-hmm. in the theater because it came out right around that time. I think that just more people should give it a shot. And again, it's like an hour and 27 minutes. What do you got to lose? You know what I mean? Just like go for a little ride and there you have it.
Yeah, it is super creepy too. That witch is
gorgeous, gorgeous designs. Yeah, love it.
My final pre-COVID movie was The Gentlemen, which I did not dislike, but I still got up about halfway through and went, why am I watching a movie when they just said we shouldn't be outside anymore? And I went home. I went home and waited until it, you know, until I could watch it another way at a later date. But I never walk out of movies, so that was pretty rare. All right, so that brings us to Todd. Do you have something you can recommend, or do you just want to glom onto this Gretel and Hansel way?
Well, no, I don't want to glom. I don't want to steal anyone's recommendation thunder. That wouldn't be fair. I actually. You know, I'm Willy's Wonderland, first of all, but I recently saw another horror movie that begins with a W called Wrong Turn, which like a reboot of the Wrong Turn franchise. So I believe it's the seventh Wrong Turn movie, which, and I'm a fan of the franchise. I'm a fan of all horror franchises. I'm sort of a junkie with that stuff. So,
I mean, it's seven wrong turns, though. Aren't you basically just going in a circle at this point?
Seven wrong turns have to make a right. Yeah. Come on. Someone had to do it.
This one, the new one, it was kind of surprising because it wasn't, you know, the original is, like deformed hillbillies, attacking teenagers who make a wrong turn sort of deal. And they sort of twisted the concept around and changed it. And I sat down to watch, a straight to video horror movie. I wasn't expecting it much. And it had way more than I thought it was. It was one of those things where when it's done, I sort of looked at my wife and I was like, that was really good, wasn't it? She was like, yeah, it was really good. So I recommend that one.
All right. Wrong Turn. What do you think the year is on that? It's like, it's pretty recent.
Yeah. It just came out. It's this year, 2021.
Okay. Just
like a month ago, I think it came out.
Wrong Turn 2021. That's what I'm going to call it. Kevin Lewis, first time on the show. What have you got?
Okay. So I've got two movies that come to mind and they inspired me a lot for Willy's. One is Let the Corpses Tan, a French film. And I think it was directed by a husband and wife. And it's a crime thriller. And it's just so inventive on the way they shot this movie and the angles and the editing. And it kind of influenced me even for the opening of the driving sequence with Nick. And so that movie really blew me away. And then
what's it called again?
Let the Corpses Tan. And then the other film is another French film that I just love is Revenge.
Yes. And streaming on Shudder.
Isn't that a great movie? And
it is.
It's beautiful, you know, and it's a simple story, but the way it's executed, the way it's told, and the performances are great. And it's an amazing film. I really like it. So those two really inspired me for Willy's, you know, again, just for like the cinematography and the pacing and the cutting. And they're two, movies that I don't think a lot of people have heard of that they need to check out, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be on a lot of people's radars. Do you think Let the Corpses Tan is it on Shudder or somewhere like that?
I would hope so. Let me see. I would think like, so.
Gosh, I feel like I've seen it. I feel like I've seen it on one of the streaming services. I know that's not helpful, but
yeah, I think I have as well because I do.
It's on that. Sling, I guess Sling.
Oh, okay.
All watch options. Oh, it's on Amazon Prime, YouTube, Google Play, Apple TV.
Yeah, it's probably just in a bunch of spots in the
It's really good, guys. I mean, it's like a kind of a modern day Sergio Leone, kind of film, Sergio Leone film. It's so interesting, and the story's great. You know, it's a crime thriller, It's captivating. I really can't wait to see what you guys think,
All right, everybody, we got to see this movie now.
Now I'm building it up so much.
All of these are new to me. I did not see Gretel and Hansel because I felt like I've seen that story a million times and, the kids don't die in enough of them. and Wrong Turn. I don't even think I've seen one of the first seven Wrong Turn films, so I won't be influenced.
You know,
that.
These both Let the Corpses Tan and Revenge played at one of my favorite film festivals, Fantastic Fest, which, Doug, I know you...
That's why I recognize Let the Corpses Tan, because I probably saw it on the schedule and decided to see something else.
Totally. And you know, so I bring it up because Doug and I were texting earlier, Kevin, and I was like, damn, I wish I could have seen Willy's Wonderland and Fantastic Fest. Like, this feels like a Fantastic Fest movie, you know? So any of the audience who's listening, who knows what that means, you know what that means, you know?
That's cool. Absolutely. Yeah. I designed it, you know, the idea was a kind of a Midnight Madness, you know, film, you know, maybe like Toronto Midnight Madness. That was kind of the goal. And, you know, I remember watching, you know, I grew up in Denver, Colorado. We drove, you know, an hour and a half to see Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2. You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of the vibe I wanted. It's funny, you know, because there's a cult in, you know, cult movie. They say it's a cult movie, but cult movies are movies that aren't hits, right? And then as the years go by, they generate a following. And I think now what we're talking about with streaming with all these films is everything's so available now, right? So it's kind of interesting, you know, changing the vernacular of cult movie, because now everything comes out, you know, like you just said, you can find these movies. Before, you really couldn't, you know, and so they kind of got this cult-like status. So it's interesting because Entertainment Weekly said the first cult movie of 2021, which I was so excited, you know, when they said that about Willy's. But it's interesting how the cult movies changed now, you know. Sorry.
It's kind of,
yapping.
I think it's shorthand now for, you know, it's going to be a specialized, you know, like this movie's for very specific people, but you know, of course, lots of them. So that's how it gets there to that cult level. I will run all these three, you know, past my girlfriend, see if she, you know, cause that's the next step. I can't just watch things really, really, really. I also posted all on Twitter on the Doug Loves Movies account and do a little poll and see what the which ones the listeners like the best. But it's not a competition. Great. It's just getting the word out.
It's not a competition.
Yeah. we don't normally have, you know, a filmmaker in his own movie, you know, in these. And Todd almost went with Willy's Wonderland.
Well, yeah. I mean, I already spouted about it on the other podcast.
That's true.
Too much.
Yeah, you're keeping it interesting. All right. So I've prepared a game for us to play today that we've been playing. I think this is maybe the second or third time we play it. And I love it. And I think you guys might like it too. And we'll do that right after our second and final break. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back. As you know, we are here with filmmaker Kevin Lewis, actor Todd Robert Anderson, and all-around amazing person Clark Wolf. What's the one? What word would you put first on your list of things that you do, Clark? Would you say actress is your number one thing?
Yes, because that is what I am actively pivoting and investing in currently. I usually say actress, host, and nerd because that's sort of like the trifecta. But yeah, I'd say actress.
Well, this is almost kind of like an audition because you're on the show with Todd Robert Anderson, and I hear he makes interesting little films.
You know, I have heard that. I have heard that. All the gentlemen on this podcast make very interesting.
I mean, you really want to get in on he'll cast you in one of his reels or a TikTok.
Hey, I'm not mad at a TikTok. Also,
I can get you on YouTube today.
Wow.
Today.
Oh, today. Man. That's fast. And based in Atlanta, can work as a local hire. Okay, nice. YouTube.
That's where we shot Willie's.
Hey, okay.
Yeah, let's get the word out to all of my filmmaker friends that Clark is in Atlanta, where Hollywood has moved to.
Yes.
And she's ready to work.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Doug. Wow. 10% is yours on my next booking.
I wish it was all that easy. And sometimes it is. This game is called Parental Guidance. I'll probably come up with a better name for it eventually, but I love the premise because the internet loves to tell you all the things that you should keep children from seeing, things that might, you know, I guess some people might want to read these kind of parental guidance reviews, you know, if they're triggered by anything in particular. But basically how this game works is I'll read the warnings from websites for one particular film. I'll read just, you know, one of the several things, you know, because any given movie, there's a lot of talk out there about, you know, the sex, the nudity, the language, and the violence. So the first clue is going to be tough, and they're going to get a little easier, and then I'm hoping by the fourth clue, everyone will know what movie we're talking about. I'll start with, I know Clark always has to go last because of her last name being Wolf, and I don't think that's fair, so we'll start with Clark. Then we'll go to Kevin.
Oh boy. Just,
with the last name Lewis, he's used to being in the middle anyway. And we'll really flip Todd's switch because the last name Anderson, he's always first everywhere he goes. Except for when he goes to Aardvark Town. So Todd will go third. But everybody gets a chance. We change the order every time so that everybody gets a chance to go first. And there are four clues. So the first person gets the first clue, second, the second clue, third, the third one. Of course, you get to hear all of them, all of you. But then we go back to the first person with the fourth clue that should give it away. So that way everybody, you know, has a similar shot at getting a point. First to 2 points is the winner. Any questions?
Nervous. I'm really nervous right now.
I know. I get nervous before the games too, Kevin. It's kind of
crazy. Well, at least this isn't like a, you know, where you have to jump in fast. You have time to think about it, and we go in an orderly manner. So we'll start with Clark, and Clark alone is the only one who can guess which movie she thinks had the parental guidance warning, "There is no sex."
There is no sex.
So basically, you just have to take a guess. Name a movie that has no sex in it.
National Treasure.
You might have been in business if I decided to do a Nicolas Cage theme today. But I think that I bet you Kevin knows almost everything there is to know about Nicolas Cage movies at this point. So that would be unfair. Kevin?
Yeah.
There is no sex. There is no sex. And a colonel and a police officer drink beer in a bar.
Oh, man. Okay.
A colonel and a police officer.
Oh, my gosh.
A beer. I hope they each had their own. It's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Wild guesses only.
Oh Oh shoot. Gosh, this is oh man, you guys. Okay. No sex. Come on. Oh man. I keep thinking like Denzel Washington, but no, I don't know.
Which one is he, the colonel or the police officer?
There you go. No, it's not it. This is really hard.
Yeah. It'll get easier.
Okay. A criminal and a police. I'm sorry, guys. I'm taking so much time.
Well, you can, pass or just take a while.
You know, I'll pass right now. I'll pass. Okay. I took too much time. I'll pass.
All right. Moves to Kevin. Excuse me. You are Kevin. Todd?
Yes. Todd.
No sex. Colonel and a police officer drink beer in a bar. The film is very emotional and has a somewhat depressing ending.
Oh, very emotional and has a somewhat depressing ending with a cop and a colonel, and there's no sex.
No sex in this movie. And this is, you know, this is according to whoever wrote that down, you know.
Cop and a
might
colonel.
Not even be accurate.
I don't know. The messenger.
Very emotional film, and I think the ending was so much depressing. So you're accurate in that sense. And apologies to everyone if this fourth clue doesn't give it away, and if I'm crazy for thinking that it should. If it doesn't, we'll just move on to the next one, pretend this didn't happen. But it's back to you, Clark.
Okay.
A cop runs into a booby trap in a forest, which drives wooden spikes into his leg.
A cop? Wow. Runs into a booby trap in the forest, which drives wooden spikes into his leg.
I feel like if that didn't just immediately do it, then I just misjudged this particular clue.
I am legitimately stumped. I wonder if the other guys know, but I really wooden spikes in his leg. Maybe it'll be the type of thing where when we hear it, I'll be like, oh, of course. But right now, I got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, Ewoks set up some traps in the forest. And so did...
Ewoks did. So is it Return of the Jedi?
No.
Empire?
Although I would like to see that scene that got cut from the film where a colonel and a police officer...
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Do you guys, Kevin or Todd, you can't get the point, but do you have an idea what this is?
No.
Me either.
Wow. I really overestimated how, like, because that made such a big impact on me as a child when I saw the very first Rambo movie.
Oh man. Are you kidding me? I am not worthy. First Blood.
I mean, that's super memorable when that happens to that guy, right?
I need to leave, guys. I just feel so humiliated right now. That's so terrible.
It's so funny. When God. You said a cop and a colonel had, you know, I'm racking my brain. And then the more clues, I was just thinking it was one cop. And that was what tripped me up because it was a bunch of cops. Yeah. So you were talking about different cops entirely.
Wow. I cannot have my friends hear this podcast. They're going to be so ashamed.
I thought the colonel was a big clue because Richard Crenna, they're always referring to him being a colonel. And
Colonel
Trotman. Military movies, I usually don't know, you know, if somebody's a colonel.
Colonel Trotman, yep.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Yeah, so you know it. Yeah. You know it.
God.
All right. Well, these next ones will be, I swear to God, these next ones should be easier. But like I said, I'm just learning my way with this game. So I appreciate your patience. And let's play round two, where we start with Kevin.
Oh, boy.
And again, Kevin, this first clue is not going to be very helpful. No. So just throw out any movie that comes to mind.
Okay.
The second half of the film is much darker and intense than the first half.
Okay.
Just name any movie that you feel that way about. You might get it.
I'll say Drive, you know, because that was.
Okay, that's not the answer, but good guess. Now we move to Todd. Mm. You don't need that first clue again, do you?
No.
The second clue is that the main character's scream can frighten most viewers.
The main character's scream can frighten most viewers.
Yeah, I mean, that's first, a very low opinion of viewers. Most of them are frightened by a scream, but okay.
Terrified by the main character's scream. And it's darker. Geez, I don't know. Halloween.
I don't believe Mike Myers makes any noise, but
well, no, I thought like Jamie Lee Curtis screaming. She's the main
character.
That's
true. Yeah, that's true. So she could be she's arguably the main character. Clark?
Yes. I know there's a third clue. I have a weird guess. I'm curious if the third clue will. I'm curious. I don't know.
I feel like this third clue is a game changer. You lucked out, but maybe you already know it, and you can tell us if you already knew it. We don't trust you. But the third clue is a young boy calls his older brother penis breath.
Yes. So, okay. I'm trying because I don't know. It's like, I don't know exactly what it is, but I know that this is a thing. Is it A Christmas Story?
No, it is not.
Oh, man. I know that when you say what it is, this is a movie that I did not grow up on. And so, but I know. So
no, you don't want to say too much because there's still people in play.
Yep.
But I don't believe, I mean, Christmas Story has its ribald moments, I guess, but I don't believe anybody says penis breath. So we go back to Kevin with the fourth clue. Are you ready?
I think I know what it is, but go ahead.
I think you do too. Would you like the clue or do you want to just go ahead and tell us?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say it.
Okay.
E.T.
That is correct.
Yes, of course. Yes, 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 yes. Good job.
I mean, penis breath and E.T. is practically like, frankly, Scarlet, I don't give a damn. I mean, you know exactly what movie that's from.
What was the other clue?
The other clue was, see, this is where the fourth one's always supposed to give it away. The fourth clue was a group of government agents wearing spacesuits suddenly invade Elliot's home.
Oh, yeah, that one. Done. Yeah.
I should have had something more really specific like that for the Rambo, you know, like the fourth one should have been Rambo cries at the end. it is very, that Rambo movie, that first one is a real movie with real emotion.
It's a great movie. It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah. The dude that directed that, Ted Kotcheff, his daughter has gone on to become a actor director, and she was on a show a few weeks back.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, so Kevin is on the board. He's got 1 point. We start with Todd on this third one. Todd, what movie do you think has the warning, at a slumber party, four teenage girls drink wine from the bottle?
At a slumber party, four teenage girls drink wine from a bottle. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things are coming to mind.
One guess.
I'm going to go. I'll go with The Craft.
Ooh.
Mm.
So The Craft.
So,
right.
Doug,
you're right. Witches do love wine. What's that, Clark?
I think I know what this is.
Oh, okay. Do you want? You don't want another clue?
I will take the other clue, but I think I know what it is.
Okay. A teen boy looks up a teen girl's skirt.
Yes, it's Grease.
Yeah.
Wow.
That one made me laugh because they keep calling these people teens and they're all like
30. Like 30.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm feeling a lot better now. I knew like the penis breath thing was like it nagging me in the back of my head, but I haven't seen ET in so long. Okay, I feel a little redeemed now, just a little.
I think you and Kevin have both redeemed yourselves, and the only person that needs to walk out of here with his head down is Todd.
Well, I knew that coming in. I was just here to say Willy's Wonderland is awesome. That's it. I already won.
I know, yeah. That's the only reason you're here. You never stood a chance. All right, so for the fourth round, we're back to Clark is in the first position. And so you get the first clue. Clark, what movie does this happen? There are sexual comments made to a girl by a boy. They are rather inappropriate.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. A Christmas Story. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just going to answer A Christmas Story from now on if I don't know it. Okay, sexual comments are made for a boy to a girl and they are inappropriate. Gosh, and usually Doug, you have themes, but if there is a theme between First Blood, E.T. and Grease, then I'm not seeing it.
I'll just tell you what the theme is. It's popular movies that I know everybody's aware of.
Ah, okay.
If you play this game and the person goes, I've never even heard of that movie, then you know, then that's really hard.
Okay. The Sandlot.
Great guess. No.
Okay.
Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
There are 26 fucks. And one character swears pervasively.
Oh, man. Well, it knocks out the one I was going to say. Okay. Oh, God. 26. Okay. You know, I was going to just say Back to the Future. That's not it, and that's the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah,
so no,
I don't really swear that one.
No, well, no, he did the lewd comment to her, you know.
Right.
But no, we're good. Pass right now. I'm not coming in.
I mean, you know, I think in the original script, Doc Brown, his catchphrase was "Great Fox."
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not Back to the Future. I got to pass.
Okay, Todd.
Okay.
One character falls through a ceiling.
I'm going to guess The Breakfast Club.
That is correct.
Oh, there it
that is.
Oh,
correct. Man.
I can hold my head up high.
You did it. You did Great. It.
Grateful. Grateful.
The fourth
this
clue
awesome.
Was.
Awesome. We all have 1 point.
Yeah. No, a three-way tie. I love it. The fourth clue is a student talks about taping a weaker student's buttocks together.
Larry Lester, yeah.
I mean, I love Breakfast Club, but I still can't get over. I mean, it makes sense for Emilio Estevez's character, I guess, but how tickled he is at talking about taping somebody's buns together. Like, a lot of weird shit happens in high school, but
yeah.
I mean, that's a real red flag that those boys that did that to that other boy.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to run from their own sexuality.
Yeah. Toxic masculinity is a hell of a drug, Doug.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, that worked out terrific because I like all of you so much and I want all of you, you know, to finish out this week with your heads held high. And so I'm calling it. We officially have three-way tie.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pretty unprecedented.
All right. Here we are. That's cool.
That's cool.
Which means now we go right to the plug portion of the show. Who wants to? Might as well start with you, Kevin Lewis. Tell us all the places where people need to go right now to see Willy's Wonderland.
Okay, so it's at Amazon. It's on Vudu. It's on iTunes. It's on Redbox. And then in a couple weeks, about two, 3 weeks, it's going to be on Blu-ray April 13th. And it's still in theaters and some drive-ins. That's
this awesome. Would be such a great drive-in movie. I didn't
For sure.
think about that. Go see it in a drive-in.
Clark?
You know, yes. So if every Wednesday at twitch.tv/TWDUniverse, I do a deep dive into a horror movie. We've done everything from Leprechaun to The Thing and The Shining to everything in between. So join me there at 6 p.m. Eastern. And I recently directed my first short film, which is up on my Instagram. So it is called Say Something. It is a horror short. I'm really proud of it. So give it a look-see. I'm at Clark Wolf. Clark with an E, Wolf with an E.
I love it. Clark with an E, Wolf with an E. Todd Robert Anderson with no E's. What are you up to besides yelling bun, bun, bun in that Wendy's commercial?
Well, that's it's important that everybody eats Wendy's for sure.
Okay, everybody eat Wendy's. Watch Willy's and eat Wendy's.
buy and read my horror novel called The Headache Man, please. You can watch me do this live show called My Favorite Shitty Movie on Facebook and Twitter every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to watch the show Good Girls this season, maybe I'll pop up here and there and you can see my face on that.
You're going to be back to playing some jerk. I just know it.
I'm playing jerks. What can I say? It's the best acting job because you go and you act like an asshole and then everybody thanks you at the end of the day for doing so well. You're like, all right.
Yeah, every guy character that shows up on Good Girls is going to be a jerk. That's just a given. Well, thank you to all of my guests, Clark Wolf, Kevin Lewis, Todd Robert Anderson. I really appreciate y'all being here. I have one last question. Do any of you have a favorite last line from a motion picture?
I do.
What's yours, Todd?
It's kind of random. It's the last line from the movie Cop starring James Woods. And the line is, well, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is you're right. I'm a cop and I have to take you in. The bad news is I'm on suspension and I don't give a fuck.
That's pretty good. Pretty good closing line. I can't believe they managed to save that until the very end, you know, because that feels like it'd be like a couple lines after that to kind of wrap up the story or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's how it is. And then he shoots his shotgun and then it cuts to black and you hear the shotgun cock and then the bullet casing rolling across the gymnasium floor. It's pretty cool.
Wow. Who directed that movie?
I can't remember.
What?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Anybody else?
I'm partial to the end of Silence of the Lambs. I'm having an old friend for dinner.
Yeah, that of course is a classic one. I think I've probably done that one already because I've been doing in closing every episode with a last line from a movie.
Oh, that's Todd's why is definitely I ask, better than
that. I've run out of good ones. So now I'm just doing random ones because I bought a book that's all about end lines and most movies end with the most mundane line of dialogue. Like, all right, see you later. Kevin, do you have a favorite one?
I mean, what comes to mind is, you know, the ending of Shane, you know, Shane, come back, and he's not coming back, kid. It's just, wow.
What a dark note. We are all ending on very dark notes today.
Well, coming back, kid, is the last line of Shane.
I got beat with First Blood. I just, you know, that's why I got kicked off already. It's just, yeah, we're dark today.
All right. Well, I'll do, since we talked so much about E.T., I'll just do the last line from E.T. Thanks again, everybody, for being here. And as always, so long, bitches.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.